Greetings to the brightest audience in Colorado, across the nation, nay, throughout the entire world. I am not Bob Benyart, America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic anti-choice talk show host, and pastor of Denver Bible Church. I'm Doug McBurney, the host of the Weekly Worldview, sitting in this week as Bob Benyart is out in Los Angeles, California, promoting personhood and young earth creationism in one fell swoop, in one trip, killing two birds with one stone. Or promoting the life of two birds with one. I'm not sure how that works. I've got to confess, I just ate a smothered burrito approximately the size of my own face right before I went on the air. And I don't recommend that to anyone. And, you know, my wife makes a smothered burrito. She's ruined us for Mexican restaurants. We can't go to Mexican restaurants anymore. Because my wife makes this green chili sauce and these burritos. Well, first of all, my wife is just a stone bombshell. That's the first thing, okay? That's the first thing I got going for me. Secondly, she makes a green chili sauce and a burrito that, well, I just don't want to get in. I could take a nap right now. She also produces beautiful children. I mean, you just have to see it to believe it. All right, so, but let's get on. I know you don't want to hear about my personal life and how I would like to just put my feet up here and stretch out my gut for 20 minutes. So there's a lot to talk about today. The biggest item, of course, is the personhood initiative here in Colorado. We're driving toward the hoop, so to speak. We're rounding third. We're headed for home. We're in the home stretch. So if you're out there and you've got your petitions and you haven't filled them up yet, get them filled up. In fact, if anyone out there wants to call in with an update from the field, if you've got any good stories, any horror stories, any stories at all about gathering signatures for the Personhood Initiative, changing, amending the Colorado Constitution to declare that all human beings deserve the rights of personhood. No person shall be deprived of life without due process of law. If you've been out there in the field and you've been working on the petition drive, give us a call. We'd love to hear about it. The number to call is 1-800-836-9278. You know the number well, but I know you're just nervous to call because you're nervous about being on the radio. Don't be nervous. I just ingested roughly 3,500 calories, and I'm able to do this. So you can call in. 800-836-9278 is the number to call. Feel free. But before we get to that, I've got a very disturbing story. Not surprising, but disturbing. From Joel Osteen down in Houston, Texas. You all know Joel, right? He draws more people to his church on Sunday morning than the Denver Nuggets on Friday night. Okay? The guy's got a big church. How does one achieve a church that can attract roughly 18,000 people to a service? How do you do that? Joel Osteen, is it just his teeth and his smile? Is that what it is? It is charm? Well, I think Joel does it by loving everyone. Joel loves everyone. In fact, Joel Osteen, what's the name of his church? I'm not even going to say the name of his church because I don't want to give him any promotion. Joel Osteen prayed over the inauguration of Houston's new mayor. Now, on its face, that's not necessarily a sin, except for the fact that Houston elected an openly deviant mayor. It's a family show, so there's certain things we shouldn't even talk about in public, like what Mayor Anise Parker of Houston talks about in public all the time. The fact that she is how can I put it in a family-friendly manner? Let's just say that last time she voted, she was registered on the island of Lesbos. Okay, is that close enough? Okay, so you understand what I'm talking about Mayor Anise Parker. So Mayor Anise Parker down in Houston steps up for the inauguration. Her partner is holding a Bible that was owned by Mayor Anise Parker's grandparents, who never registered to vote on the Isle of Lesbos. Okay, we can safely assume that, since Anise Parker, in fact, was born and existed. Her grandparents owned a Bible. Anise brought it to her inauguration, and Joel Osteen gave the opening prayer. Okay? Do we have the tape of that? "We ask that everything we do would bring honor to you, and we just lift up especially Mayor Anise Parker, Lord. We thank you just for raising her up and just for your goodness and your mercy in her life and just for supernatural wisdom, Father. We honor her today and our other officials, and Lord, we count it a joy and an honor to be here in your presence with all our friends. And we just thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen." At which point the ground opened up and flames devoured the entire crowd. And a voice came down from heaven and said, "You are not in my presence. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." Okay, I made up the last part, but that's a preview. Anyway, so there's Joel Osteen, prominent evangelical Christian leader, praying over and possibly even laying hands on the same Bible as Mayor Anise Parker down in Houston, Texas, well-known well-known resident of the Isle of Lesbos, if you know what I mean, okay? All right, now, let's move on to other news. This is big news to me. Now, I'm not sure how you'll feel about it. A dateline from Grants Pass, Oregon, from the Associated Press. Hang on to your seats, folks. I know that there's shocking news every day, but hang on for this one. Conservation groups and scientists want federal agriculture authorities to start regulating shipments of commercially domesticated bumblebees used to pollinate crops to protect wild bumblebees from diseases threatening their survival. These conservation groups said Tuesday in a hearing that four species of bumblebees, once common in the United States, have seen drastic declines. Now, you may not know this, but besides pollinating wild plants, bumblebees are responsible for pollinating about 15% of all the crops grown in the United States. Those crops that they pollinate have a value of approximately $3 billion. Conservationists say that regulation is needed because while some states like Oregon prohibit importation of bumblebees, others such as Washington and California allow the importation of bumblebees. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the type of thing to which I am open to debate. I'm willing to hear the evidence on both sides, and I believe it would be right honorable for senators and congressmen to investigate and debate and even to act once a decision is taken on what is the best path to follow regarding bumblebees. But folks, when it comes to debating the legalization of things like murder, theft, adultery, when it comes to debating legalizing immorality, no governing official, no senator, no congressman, no mayor, no dog catcher, no city councilman has the right to even debate the legalization of immorality. If our governing officials would stick to bumblebees and roads and bridges and the military, they would be honorable people. And they would not be swallowed up in my aforementioned Christophany. But our governing officials are currently debating not only murder but theft in the form of the health care bill. And that's just at the federal level. If you look at the amount of immorality being legitimately debated amongst the immoral who rule us, well, it's just enough to make you sick. It's enough to make you depressed. But don't get depressed, because there's personhood and it is on the horizon and we're driving toward the goal. And I don't know that I'm able to take a call, but I'm willing to try to take a call. Let's go to Scott in Thornton, Colorado. Scott, you're on Bob Enyart Live. Speak your mind.
How you doing, Doug? Scott Evans up in Longmont. How you doing?
I'm doing all right, Scott.
Good.
Hey, what's
when you
up?
Said that, when you said they're debating on whether they should steal or not, they don't debate on whether they steal or not. They debate on how much they should steal.
Well, that's a Scott, you got me there. They're just debating the level of theft at this point.
Exactly right.
And how many innocent people will be killed?
More than we would like to think about.
So it's a little bit depressing. But what's happening up there in Thornton? I'm sorry, Longmont, you said. What's happening in Longmont, Scott?
Well, you talked about people going out and collecting signatures, and I don't know if I can plug Mardell's or not, but I think I just did. But
Mardell. Mardell is a Christian bookstore down on South Wadsworth, around the 6,000 South block on Wadsworth.
Yeah, 4,800 block, actually.
4,800 block. Very good, Scott. Thanks for helping me out there.
Yes, sir.
What's happening at Mardell?
Well, we were there the other day collecting signatures, and a nice man came up and talked about it, and he said he wouldn't sign because the baby's not alive till he takes his first breath.
Uh-huh.
How often do you hear that argument? Not that often, I don't think. But
I don't think so. Maybe like back in ancient Greek times.
Yeah, so it took me back a little bit, and he went in the shop, and I thought about it, said a quick prayer, and he asked God to give me something when he came out. He was a nice guy. I knew he'd talk to me, so I said, hey, one more thing. And he said, yeah, what is it? And I said, do you believe that baby should be deprived of that first breath of life? And he said, no. And I said, well, that's exactly what we're doing. He said, I'll sign it.
All right, Scott.
So we got it handled there. So I have to praise God for that one. I don't know if I'd be bright enough to come up with that quickly or not. So.
Praise the Lord, Scott. Well, you know, when we avail ourselves of God's wisdom, he will give it to us freely. Amen.
Yeah, because we're praying in for his will, and that's what his will is. So.
There you go, Scott. Not only driving for the hoop, but following it up with the finger roll lay-in. Way to go, Scott. God bless you. Thanks for that call.
God bless you. Take care. Bye-bye.
From Longmont, Colorado. Now, let's go to Thornton, Colorado. And, Brian, speak your mind.
Hey, Doug. How are you? Well, I was actually with Scott, and we had a good time down at Mardell's, and I would encourage everybody to get down there and buy some Bibles or something that they could buy at Mardell's, but one of the things that we've discovered talking to thousands of people getting these petitions is there are a large percentage of people, and when I say large, maybe up to 20% of the people that will sign that petition that will actually take a petition and go get their own signatures. So I've heard this called a movement, and I believe it's true because a lot of people who are pro-life are willing to do more than just write a check or more than just sign a petition.
Yeah.
They're willing to get out there and talk to people. And I didn't find that the last time around. And this time, when I ask people, do you really want to see this question on the ballot in November of 2010? And they say yes. And I say, well, how much do you want to see it on the ballot?
Oh,
do you want to see it on the ballot enough that you'll go out and talk to your friends and your neighbors and your family? And many of them will say, yes, I'll do it. What do I need to do? So we can form an army of people if we'll ask them more than just, will you sign this petition to get this question on the ballot? Will you help us?
Wow.
And I'm finding more and more people say, yes, I will help you.
That's awesome, Brian. You know, a lot of people just need some impetus, typically some outside motivation to push them out of their comfort zone. So they'll go out and they want to do something. They desperately want to do something. And with the right motivation, if you're out there, Scott, or Brian, I'm sorry, were you ever in sales? That's quite the sales job you're laying on them. It's
well,
awesome.
I tried different tactics with people, and I found that if I asked them, how much, do you really want to see this question on the ballot? That simple question, if they say, yes, I really want to see that question on the ballot, I say, look, we're all volunteers, and we have a small army of people, but we need a large army of people to make sure, to guarantee we get that question on the ballot. And if you can go out and get 30 or 40 of your own friends and family that will sign this, the chances of us getting this on the ballot increase exponentially. Because I've asked that question to 100 people now, and about 60 of them have taken me up on it.
So that's the question for all you volunteers out there who are too nervous to call in. And I understand. It's okay. We know you're out there. The question to ask, do you want to see this on the ballot? How bad do you want to see this on the ballot?
Yep.
Brian, that's awesome. What an awesome bit of instruction that our small and growing army of petition carriers can pick up from you right here today.
Well, we need an army of people because there is an army of people that have been deceived and lied to and been told that it's a woman's choice and it's a woman's body. And so we need an army of people that are not only passionate but are organized. And goodbye, guys.
Are you with me, brother? God bless you, Brian. Thank you for your efforts.
Thanks, Doug. I'll talk to you soon.
I'm not sure what that was. Perhaps it was a sign. That was a sign to Brian to hang up the phone and get back out there and collect signatures. So for those of you who are out there, we are right now, I know from inside information that the folks over at Personhood Colorado are currently preparing the final lot of petitions in the thousands, so that no matter how many of your friends you ask to go get signatures, Personhood Colorado will be able to supply you with the petitions you need. So ask them. How bad do you want to see this on the ballot? Can you get 5 of your friends, 10 of your friends, 50 of your friends? Doesn't matter how many. Can you double your own impact by going out and getting one more signature? Way to go, Brian. That's awesome. All right. So if there's any more updates from the field on anything, you could call me about bumblebees. You could call me about registered voters from the island of Lesbos who are now mayors in southern states. 800-8-NYART, 800-836-9278 is the magic number to call. Now, let's move on. Have I reported Bob's in Los Angeles promoting personhood and young earth creation? We've gotten some updates from the field. That's exciting. If you need petitions, if you need petitions, you could call us here at Bob Enyart Live and we'll put you in touch with the right people. Call us at 1-800-836-9278. We can load you up with petitions. Even if you could only get 5 or 10 signatures, that means you increase your impact by 5 or 10 times if all you've done so far is sign one. And it's not that hard. It's even fun. I had a conversation. In fact, this goes back to Brian's advice from a couple of weeks ago. Had a conversation with a young lady who said, Doug, I've been carrying the petition, and I had a question that's tough. Does this mean, if we change the law in Colorado, does this mean that women who've had abortions will be thrown in jail? And I said, young lady, I said, when you hear that question, And folks, I don't know if the question was from her or if she had heard it. I don't know. I told her, I said, when you hear that question, what you have to keep in mind is the person who's asking you that question, there's a war going on between their flesh and their spirit, the spirit of God that's within them. The spirit of God tells them that the personhood of the unborn child should be established by law, but their flesh is looking for a way out. Just looking for any little way that they could compromise so that they don't offend their friends or feel bad about maybe what they've done or what they know has been done or what they may have even participated in themselves. I said, you've got to confront them with that battle that's going on within them, that battle between the spirit of God and their flesh, and say it to them. The reason you're asking me this question is because there is a war going on inside you. Your flesh is warring against the spirit of God. The Spirit of God has told you what is true. You know what is good. You know what is righteous. And there's no out for your flesh. The only out is the spiritual out, and that means acknowledging and worshiping Jesus Christ and being conformed to His image. And if you confront enough people with this idea that there's a struggle within them between good and bad, between the spirit and the flesh, some people will repent, and that's really what this battle's about. It's not necessarily just about getting the issue on the ballot. It's not just about confronting every voter in Colorado and any other state with the truth of personhood. It's about engaging in that spiritual battle for the souls of men. All right. Now, let's go. I really want to get to this story, but first let's go to Gabe in Thornton, Colorado. Gabe, speak your mind.
Yeah, I have a question that was posed to me that I didn't know how to answer the last time the personhood amendment was posted.
So a difficult question, Gabe?
Yep.
Did I mention to you that before I went on the air, I ate a burrito that was the size of my face, and I just ingested over 3,000 calories? But that's okay, Gabe. I'm ready. What's the question?
All right. Well, the question that was posed to me, because I got into a little bit of a debate last time around with a woman. She's claims to be a Christian, so I want to give her the benefit of a doubt.
And assume that she's not, right?
What about a woman who has cancer while she's pregnant?
Yeah.
And you know, if she gets the radiation, you know, that would injure the or kill the baby.
Yep, I think I got the question, Gabe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's probably one of the biggest red herrings I've ever heard, the biggest straw man I've ever seen tossed across the debating field. But Gabe, let's address it because it could happen, right, Gabe?
Yeah.
Let's say it could happen one in a billion times.
Sure.
Let's say. Even if there's that one in 1 billion chance, that issue has to be addressed. So, Gabe, if an oncologist is treating a cancer patient, would there be any reason for that oncologist to proactively kill that child in order to save its mother?
I have no idea.
Well, let me ask you this, Gabe. At what point in radiation therapy would killing the baby be necessary?
Well,
do you think there's a point?
I think that the radiation would probably kill the baby.
It might, right?
Yeah.
It might. Okay, so a doctor has determined that a woman is going to die if she doesn't have radiation treatment.
Uh-huh.
Now, what does that mean for the baby?
Well, if the woman dies, the baby would probably die too.
Very good, Gabe. So the doctor goes in with the goal of saving the mother.
Uh-huh.
Now, the treatment itself, we know it can be toxic. The treatment itself could kill the mother, too.
Uh-huh.
Gabe, it's the heart of the doctor. Is the doctor intentionally trying to kill the child?
No.
No, he's not. So, Gabe, there would be no law against trying to save a mother with cancer using radiation and chemotherapy. There would be no law against that. What there would be a law against, Gabe, and this is what you want to tell the person you said claims to be a Christian. By the way, Gabe, whenever someone tells me so-and-so claims to be a Christian,
mm-hmm.
that means they're not a Christian.
Okay.
Okay, and Gabe, you're spiritually wise enough that you already know that. You want to be nice. The nice thing to do, Gabe, is give her the benefit of the doubt, assume she's going straight to hell with jet rockets, and you need to be the one to confront her with her need for salvation and her need to understand the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So, Gabe, you need to let her know that the law establishing the personhood of the unborn child is designed to change the hearts and the attitudes of the people, the mothers, the fathers, the doctors.
Okay.
It's not designed to throw anyone in prison. It's not designed to threaten any doctor's career. These are all straw men.
Okay.
And there are a lot of things, Gabe, that will have to be reassessed once the personhood of the fetus is reestablished legally. Wouldn't you agree there will be some things that are going to have to be reassessed in our culture?
Absolutely.
Right. And Gabe, the medical society, the oncology society, this is something that they'll have debates about. And there may be some changes to protocol. But Gabe, those changes are going to be made in the light of a new paradigm, that the doctor is treating two living people.
Okay.
That baby in the womb has just as much a right to life to the mother. And Gabe, the only laws we're going to overturn are those that allow men to deliberately kill innocent children. Those are the only laws that'll be overturned.
Okay.
All right. Hey, Gabe.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for a great call, man. It's great to know you're out there, brother.
All right.
God bless you. Wow, Gabe and Thornton. Way to go, Gabe. Gabe's a lot smarter than he thinks. Yeah, he's got a lot more on the ball than he All right. Now let's see. We're running out of time. Now, today, as I'm driving around Colorado, conservatives on the radio are falling all over themselves with love for a man named Scott Brown. Scott Brown is a Republican in Massachusetts running against Democrat Martha Coakley in a special election campaign. They had a debate, and apparently Scott Brown has enamored the entire conservative movement from the titular head of Rush Limbaugh all the way down to, I don't know, radio hosts who couldn't carry Rush Limbaugh's water, I should say. I mean, even people like Hugh Hewitt. Anyway, you listen to conservative radio over the next 24 to 48 hours. You're going to hear a lot of love for Scott Brown, the savior of the conservative movement, who may be able to break the filibuster-proof Senate if he can dislodge Democrat Martha Coakley, who is going to replace, let's see, who was it? Speaking of cancer, yeah, Ted Kennedy. Okay, well, Brown, according to the Boston Globe, he's a state senator for Rentham, Mass. He picked up the support of Massachusetts Citizens for Life in this race based on his positions on issues including abortion, stem cells, and federal health legislation. He also opposes federal funding for abortion. He supports strong parental consent rules before you kill a baby. And he supports the ban on partial birth abortion that bans certain methods for partial birth abortion. And then, of course, is an instruction manual on how to perpetrate a partial birth abortion. Now, John Roe, the chairman of the pro-life committee, pro-life action committee there in Massachusetts, says, "We're behind him. We're behind Scott Brown." And he says the pro-life vote in Massachusetts is very important at this point. It could make a big difference. So the pro-lifers in Massachusetts are lining up behind Scott Brown, even though he's obviously pro-choice with some exceptions. There's some babies that he would let live, or he would at least want to regulate the way they're murdered so that it would, you know, it'd look better. Might not be quite as grotesque. Not quite as Mengele-esque. You know, he's voted for certain regulations so that certain children can be killed. But there are certain children. Now, as far as I can tell from his record, there are no children that he would fully protect by granting personhood. Folks, I saw Scott Brown last night on television. And go to Drudge and look at his picture, okay? I saw this guy. I can't remember on what station. And it just sent a shiver up my spine when I saw him, number one. And number two, at any moment, I expected his entire upper torso to crack in half and split open, and one of those monsters from Alien would shoot out, vomiting blood and throwing bodily fluids all over the room. That's what I expected when I saw Scott Brown. Scott Brown, according to the Boston Globe and his own website, is a supporter of Roe versus Wade. And friends say he would have made a great Democrat, but he comes from a Republican family. So the supposed pro-lifers are deceived yet again by this alien pod being, Scott Brown. And I just don't want our audience to be fooled. So I'm putting out the notice that Scott Brown is phony baloney. He's not a conservative. He may be a Republican, but he's not a conservative. He's certainly not pro-life. He never even claimed to be pro-life. And so let's not all hail Scott Brown as our savior. Even if he's elected, could you guarantee that someone this wicked would vote against the Democrats? How could we guarantee that? Folks, stop being naive. Stop being fooled. For you pro-lifers, stop being suckered in by the Republicans. It's a lie. It's a false dialectic. This is Bob Benyart Live. Call us for petitions, 800-836-9278. Visit us at KGOV.com and Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Great Christian school, that's Maranatha. Visit us at KGOV.com.